Well, this morning I want to provide a sermon summary from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 13. We titled this message, Carnal Christianity, with a bunch of question marks at the end. And very often in conversations I've had with individuals, the term carnal Christians has been thrown out. And some people mean by this phrase that they are apparent believers by attending church and having a profession, but ones whom do not truly have possession. And therefore, I would say this term should not be used because they're not truly Christians. But others use this term to define someone who would be a true believer and yet have a life that is simply carnal, or we could say walking in the flesh. I've responded by always asking for them to define what they mean. And if the answer is this latter definition, this is the text that I would take somebody to. And so we see the context in verse 12. We have Paul begin with, so then. So because these believers are indwelt by the Spirit, that is the context, because believers are indwelt by the Spirit. Then we have the attitude. Paul is calling these believers brethren. He's not lording over them. He's not saying he himself has accomplished true spirituality or being perfect, but rather he is their brother addressing them. And he states this, that they are under no obligation, that they are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So they have no master that they need to obey towards their sin. Of course, on the flip side, we know we are now God's children. We have our elder brother Christ, and we are under obligation to live towards him and unto his glory out of love for him. But we're under no obligation whatsoever to the flesh to live according to the flesh. So this word according, it's the principle of this in a governing way. Yes, we will be tempted and we will fall under the influence, but we are not walking in continual accordance with the flesh. And what aspects of life does the flesh corrupt? Well, we talked about our actions, our thoughts, our motivations, our words. The flesh can creep in to each aspect of our life. It's not merely what we do. It's what we think. It's the motivations behind what we do. It's what we speak. All of those things can be tainted or done in a wrong way according to the flesh. But a true believer is not living in accordance with the flesh. And he contrasts then this truth with verse 13. He says, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. So he builds on this and brings out an implication. What Paul is not saying is that you lose your salvation by struggling with sin. What he is saying, in fact, is if you're living out the desires of the flesh in a consistent, unrepentant way, then you're proving to not be a believer in the first place. And therefore, you're still under the bondage of sin, and you are headed for the wages of sin, which is death. So this is a warning. That we would really evaluate our lives and see if we are true believers. Now, the truth remains, we are saved by faith alone by God's grace, but we are called to live holy lives being progressively sanctified, and this is both a work of God and an act of obedience from us. So we will continue to battle. True believers will continue to battle their sin. It is an attitude change. It's going from hating God and loving your sin to hating your sin and loving God. And this is evidenced by this. If by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And I wanted to pull out just a few quick things. We need to do it with the right attitude. As Philippians 3 verses 12 through 14, Paul says he recognizes that he's not laid hold of it, but he's pressing on. So it's with a humble attitude. We are to do it with the right mindset. According to Colossians 3, 1 through 3, we set our minds on things above, on the eternal things. We do it with the right prayer. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we also must do it with the right knowledge. Psalm 119:11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Lastly, we must do it with the right power. Romans 8:13. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Therefore, let me ask, is there any such thing as a carnal Christian? And I summed up the message with this: you'll sooner see Bigfoot riding a unicorn on top of the Loch Ness Monster than you will see a carnal Christian. Because Christians, by their very names, are followers of Christ. No, they're far from perfect, but they are pursuing and loving Christ and hating their sin and repentantly, continually in repentance, turning away from their sin when they do choose wrong. And they love God and they hate their sin.